Looking better than ever. WNC behind the beard. We gather around the table to keep the saga going with the next iteration. Joining me, as always, Mike and Lewis Anderson. Derek Green back in the saddle again this week, and Carson Jones along. Big weekend in football, gentlemen. College, pro, and high school. First round of the playoffs under the belt. Good weekend for basketball. Pro football. I mean, it was just a buffet.
The Bears offense is fantastic.
Oh, can we not?
I love the Bears.
Can we not start with this? Can we not?
This is awesome.
Yes. As soon as I seen that highlight, I was like, I can't wait to talk to Carson.
Next topic.
What happened, Carson? Walk us through.
I mean, the fact is they have got to – I want them to throw a blank check in front of Ben Johnson, AC Reynolds grad. I want them to throw a blank check in front of him and say, hey, make this check out. What do you want? And then get him over there. I just don't think he wants to be a part of the incompetent organization that the Bears
are. They got rid of one terrible quarterback to get another one.
I mean, I can tell you right now that the kicker was 41 of 41 inside of 45 yards. And the coach after the game said it did not matter to them to get those extra 7 yards.
With a timeout in their pocket.
Not ideal. So it's like, I don't get paid $10 million to coach. I actually do a podcast about football for free.
For free, indeed.
But, we get paid big bucks.
But I can tell you, you don't want to see your leader get up and say that. No. When the stats actually prove that he's 41 for 41. Packers said, hey, we know that, you know, when they're in this position, he kicks a lower trajectory. We actually thought they were going to line up in a different formation because we knew that if they were in that one, we could get it. And, oh, my God. So they actually got outcoached.
You know what my favorite thing about that is?
What?
So this Sunday, I'm going to Lambeau, 49ers. And now Green Bay is all confident and all this. 49ers just lost. So now it's going to be a good game for me.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, 49ers did well. How did Sunday go?
Yeah, not well. That's why I'm pumped.
Oh, so they're going to play better in Lambeau than they did at home.
When it's 8 degrees.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Well, the Green Bay Packers are like taking it easy. They just beat the Bears.
What about the Dolphins? Two wins in a row. We're rolling now.
And the 72 Dolphins got to pop the champagne
as they did.
The Chiefs went down to the Buffalo Bills.
You're back on track now, right?
So we hate to see the Bills win.
Sure.
Conference foe. But yeah, I mean, nobody should be undefeated but us.
Yeah, and the Dolphins they've made their way back into that graphic that you see on Fox and CBS. They're in the hunt.
Right.
Always great.
As long as Tua doesn't bang his head against the turf.
That's right.
Wow.
What was the song called? What was the song called, Mike? It was like the Miami Shuffle or something they did. Remember that video?
That would be the Bears. They did the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
But there you go. Didn't
We're just here to do the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Didn't Miami make a video too?
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
Miami was the team that stopped the Chicago Bears that year from going undefeated.
They did not go undefeated, yes.
I mean, Greg Olsen made a video when he was at the University of Miami.
I watched that video this week.
That is true.
What a good guy to make that video. I mean, wow.
Are there still a bunch of the 72 Dolphin players still with us? Or?
Mike's still here.
Not many.
Yeah.
Not many. I think there's about 8 or 10. Larry Zonka is the most well-known, I'd say, still remaining.
Indeed.
You think they're still partying together?
Yes.
Yeah? Like in retirement home fashion?
No, I mean, I think, you know, they're still walking around a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Good college games this weekend, that Tennessee battle, right?
Oh, yeah. I was very torn on that one. I didn't know who I wanted to see lose more, Tennessee or Georgia. But, you know, the Dogs came out on top, and anytime Tennessee loses, it's a good weekend.
Amen.
Can't stand them.
Some would say watching the game would make you speechless.
Yes, indeed.
What a good game. True. What a good game. We had a good time. Most of us got together. At least the old guys at the table, we got together at Chris's.
We're too old for the young guys.
Yeah. Their wives don't like to hang out with us.
They hate us.
Because we're too old.
Us young guys, we got pregnant wives at the house. So it's a little difficult to get out and about on the weekends.
That outdoor.
Literally, Chris is probably, 10 minutes from you?
Yeah.
Probably with the road conditions, probably more like 15 or 20.
Ooh, settle down. Yeah. Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh. The outdoor fireplace, TV,
hot tub.
Pat, hot tub.
Tough life.
Pat got naked in the hot tub.
I did no such thing.
That Reynolds money's different.
It is.
It always has been.
Now, you know that outdoor fireplace that Chris has? It's wonderful. It's a nice full fireplace. Mike got that fire so freaking hot. He burned all the wood that Chris had in storage.
What about
the grate?
And it
melted the grate, yeah, and it folded.
So I had to continue to keep the fire warm. It was cold outside. I didn't want my wife or your wife or anybody's wife to be cold.
What a gentleman.
You know, I didn't want, you know, Jessica. I didn't want, you know, Sam's wife to be cold. I had to keep the fire. I had to keep the home fires burning.
We just lost the three viewers we had.
Yeah, they're all gone now. We can hang it up.
You don't like some Alabama? Is that it?
Oh my gosh. I like it when they sing it.
Yeah. Jeez. Hey, I got a couple of things I want to talk about. You guys want to talk about it?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
So first, I don't know if you've heard of this. I was scrolling through the Facebook today, and
some call it Facebook.
The Facebook, yeah. So Queen City All-Star Game. Derek, are you familiar with the Queen City All-Star
Game? Yeah, it's like guys east of like Shelby area. Yeah. They play some type of All-Star Game.
They take 80 players, and they make two teams, and they have an All-Star Game there in Mecklenburg County.
Oh, cool.
Why don't we do that up here? Why don't we have the West North Carolina All-Star Game?
Well, there's the East-West All-Star Game.
Yeah. But nobody from up here gets chosen. Maybe one guy.
One guy that doesn't even have that.
I think that's a good idea. West North Carolina All-Star Game.
Yeah, you do it from, you can do it from McDowell County to the state line.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Pick your best 80, take the two coaches with the highest RPI, split the area in half, make two teams.
Showcase the kids.
Yeah, showcase the kids. That'd be awesome. Why don't we do that?
You could have it up at ACR, make it a fundraiser.
Yeah, indeed.
You guys might be able to pay for that softball field.
Right.
They already have the WNC Combine, you know, I think Court and some of the other area coaches organized that.
Indeed.
Who would be the quarterback?
Who would be the quarterback?
I mean, obviously,
Caden Engel,
right?
The other quarterback would be Mount Heritage quarterback.
Talk about the two
Quinn,
style.
Brady Quinn.
I would want to be a receiver on Caden Engel's team.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, that guy could throw the ball.
I would want to be a receiver on his team.
Now, I think you got to limit it to seniors. So
So he would not be eligible. Right. He's only a sophomore.
Right. Yeah.
So if you're only doing seniors, you're talking, I don't know, but you could have a fantastic game.
Yeah, for sure.
But it would be a little bit difficult logistically, but I think it would be.
Would it be? I mean, if you do it on a Saturday, you have a Friday practice, Saturday game, and let's go.
What would you do at some point in December?
And yeah, you got to.
You got to do it after the playoffs.
Yeah. The East West game is like in the middle of the summer, which I think didn't they change that recently?
Yeah, they did this past year. They moved the East-West All-Star Game to December last year.
And you know, Derek, the Shrine Bowl and stuff, Western North Carolina is not very well represented. We should just do our own deal.
We might as well. I mean, you know, like you just said, you know, Western North Carolina guys, I think we probably had five in the last 10 years get selected for the Shrine Bowl. But, you know, at the same time, we're not really churning out the Division I talent that the eastern part of the state is. So, you know, I think it's a great idea.
I looked at the new 8A, you know, all the breakdowns from the teams. Mecklenburg has like five 8A teams. The number of people in Mecklenburg County is ridiculous.
Yeah,
I think they have 16 high schools.
Yeah, it's not a fair fight to especially right now in the 4A level to have to go down
there. And haven't we discussed the open enrollment?
Yes. And I will say, in this Queen City All-Star game, they also include the private schools. There's some Cannon Kids.
Yeah.
Providence Day Kids. It's everybody in that area.
Right.
That's awesome.
Not just public schools.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
So before we get into football, you guys want to talk about basketball?
Sure.
Basketball, guys. It's getting ready to start.
Indeed. Already has.
It has started for some of us in the area. So I pulled the old 8-2-8 overtime. The high school overtime polls, the rankings, and the 8-2-8 area. The women's, Cherokee number one, guys. Cherokee. Reynolds number two. East Burke 3. Watauga 4. McDowell 5. Reynolds McDowell going to be a fantastic matchup this year.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander Central, Rosman. Anybody surprised to see Rosman girls basketball?
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. Pisgah, High Brighton, Asheville School, and Statesville, the top 10 in the 8-2-8. So what do you guys think about that?
Yeah. Cherokee's defending state champion in 1A. You know, you got Reynolds that went to, what'd they go, Final Four?
Yeah, they're Final Four.
Elite Eight or something last year. So
now I did hear that the big star of the the regional semifinal game or whatever, the last playoff game they played at Reynolds.
Yeah.
Tate Harvey, who basically took over in the overtime of that, she did her knee up pretty bad. She's out for the season.
Man, so they're
not going to have her back.
That's tough.
It's a bummer.
I guess it's, I mean, are we surprised there's only two MAC teams on the list?
No.
No.
Because basketball's not huge up here.
No, it's
Reynolds not. Will sometimes sneak into that top 10.
Yeah.
McDowell's up there a good amount, though.
Yeah, McDowell. Speaking of Reynolds, I saw Rakese play in the Kansas game.
That was wild.
Yeah. He gets a couple minutes a game. He goes in, commits a foul, comes back out. Listen, you got five. You might as well use them.
I love it. Play physical.
So,
yeah.
And I said, listen.
You did say
I know
it.
I said, listen. And I know I said it 1,000 times last week. I'm trying not to say it. I told Carson today I was riding. I think about the podcast in my head, what I'm going to say in certain situations. And even in my head, I was saying, listen.
Yeah.
This is what. And so it's ingrained in me. So I will try not to say it, but there's a good chance. If you want to have a drinking game, you take a shot when you're listening every time I say listen, okay?
Well, our audience will be inebriated before we get halfway done with the podcast.
I had a listener say, if I took a shot every time you say listen, I would definitely get a DUI. So don't drink and drive, please.
Yes, don't.
So the men's 828, number one, Christ School, two, Hickory, three, East Henderson.
Ooh, wow.
East Henderson, do we consider them a basketball school?
I think
they're not a football school.
They're definitely not.
And they're definitely not a baseball school. So
basketball school it is.
Yep.
Good for them.
McDowell at four, West Caldwell five, Watauga, Patton, South Caldwell, West Henderson, and North Henderson. And I will mention in the statewide poll, in the top 25, according to the high school overtime, women's Cherokee 7, Reynolds 9, McDowell 17. Statewide men's Christ School 3, the only West North Carolina team in the top 10.
Christ School is at another level
compared to
the A2-8.
I was thinking today, you know, football-wise, state championship in the private schools this past week. Raven Gap beats Providence Day in what looked to be in a fantastic football game, 42-39.
Oh, wow.
What a game.
First state championship in Buncombe County. Asheville School beats Trinity Christian to win the state championship and the Division II. And, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, why don't they just let Providence Day and Raven Gap play three times and see who gets the best out of three? They probably feel the same thing about us, Christ School and basketball.
Yeah.
They've won two in a row. Lot more private schools play basketball than football.
Yeah.
There's four divisions in basketball, two in football.
Mm. Wow.
And you got to win more than three games to win a state championship in basketball.
You do.
So.
And you know, you think about Asheville School, and we may talk about this a little bit later. In my head, I'm thinking, look, they've won three in a row. They should move up to Division I. Okay, they're still not going to be in the top four. They're probably looking at fifth through eighth. So maybe they're right where they need to be.
Yeah,
I don't know. Do you feel the same way about that if they win Friday?
We'll see what happens on Friday.
I mean, I'm just saying.
You know, it kind of goes back to what we talked about with 1A versus 4A. You know, do we lessen a Mountain Heritage State Championship relative to what, you know, a Roberson State Championship or a Reynolds State Championship means to the area? I don't think that we do.
Well, if you talk to anybody, any bar, 4A is all that matters.
Well,
don't you, Derek, don't you think the best football is played in 4A?
It is, 100%. But to ask those 1A schools to compete with a 4A school.
Sure.
I would say the reason I think there's a difference between a 1A state championship and a 4A is just, you know, when Reynolds is winning 4A state championships, if you look at what Reynolds was doing at what their size was, you know, or we can go Roberson baseball. Roberson baseball is winning a
– Reynolds only won one 4A state championship.
The rest are 3A, yeah.
No. The other two were split 4A. They were little 4A.
Little 4A.
Wait, so they're not 3A. They're big 4A. In the first one, we just had 4A. The
first one was like winning one today where you just have the four divisions.
Correct.
So, 02 and 09 were – split
small four,
where you had eight divisions.
I got you. Which we're getting ready to do again.
Yes, which we're getting ready to do.
But to
I'm
go,
sorry, I
anyway,
interrupted.
Anyway,
so, so they still didn't compete at the highest level.
Yes, in 1999 they did.
In 99 they
just
did.
Just one time.
We'll say Roberson baseball, for example. Roberson baseball wins 4A state championship.
No subdivision.
No subdivision the last two seasons. They're playing against teams. I mean, we just mentioned all the Mecklenburg County teams. So in my opinion, it's like, they're is a bigger gap between the smallest 4A teams and the largest 4A teams versus the smallest 1A team and the largest 1A team.
Yeah, for sure.
So the gap is just number of students? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I know that in yes.
That's a big deal.
Well, it's
it matters in depth, but does it matter in other places as well?
I think so, because
definitely,
like, for example, like, and, you know, we're going to talk about baseball. When I think it was Kevin Millwood played for Cherryville. Dude was 95 on the bump in 1A baseball. You know, nobody in 1A baseball is touching that, because nobody in 1A baseball has ever seen that ever, and especially back in the day. Now, you know, maybe, but I think one player makes a hell of a lot more difference in a 1A situation as opposed to one player in a 4A situation.
Pat, what are your thoughts?
No, I would agree. It's at the end of the day, it's a numbers situation. Yeah. You know, you cannot compete. I think that came up when Reynolds was just in the 4A, a couple of years ago, and they got beat by Weddington. I think, Mike, you were the one that did the homework on that the Charlotte schools down there had higher male population than the entire school of Reynolds, if I'm not mistaken.
One of the things we talked about in basketball, I think we were playing maybe Audrey Kale.
Yes, I think that was what it was.
And it was like, okay, take your top three Buncombe County schools, whichever three you want, Asheville, Reynolds, TC, and then you add one more, you know, whether it be North Buncombe or whoever, and Audrey Kale's still bigger than Reynolds.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is wild. That's crazy.
And when you can pick from that pot to, you know, fill out a roster.
And you add on open enrollment on top of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just not a fair fight.
I agree. The 8A is going to make it. Do you think the 8A waters down the playoffs too much?
No, because we've seen it before. Now, you know, if you had, you know, 64 teams in a 6A playoff, yeah, it's watered down. But I think they're going back to 32.
They got to, because they won't have enough teams to play all the rounds.
Yeah.
So, did you guys see the picks from this last week?
I sure did.
I tried not to look at them.
Yeah, it was a bad week. Bad week.
Somebody had a pretty good week.
Somebody did, yes.
Who was that?
So, Carson.
Wow.
Won the week at 7-2.
Ooh.
Coming
boy.
Up.
Look out, boys.
Second place was Pat with 5-4. Mike was 4-5. Derek, 3-6. Lewis.
2-7.
You got two right.
Yeah. What a good week.
So Carson is like a classic closing thoroughbred racehorse. He comes off the pace about the sixth furlong and just drives home on the straightaway. So now it's going to be.
Pat, you said it best. I mean, if you look at how many games have we picked, we're looking at 91 games, and there's three games that, you know, go from first to last place. And it is, I would like everybody to notice, I am above 500, but more importantly, I am not in sole position for last place anymore.
So let's give the standings real quick. In last place, Lewis and Carson, 47-44. Pat and Derek, 49-42. Guess who's in first?
That would have to be you, Mike.
Mike, 50-41.
Mike also keeps up with this, so there might be some collusion going on.
We're going to have a recount before this is over.
You guys are welcome to recount all the picks. That's fine.
Lewis's liberal take number one for today.
Nice. I don't care what the law is. We're going to count them anyway.
All right.
Oh, man. So as the games get – as we get less and less games, does Carson catch up? Can he finish in the top three?
No, there's no chance.
There's definitely no chance. Except you're picking first for every game tonight.
That's not true. That's awesome. I'm not letting that happen.
Oh, so let's talk about last week. You guys want to?
Let's do it.
Let's do that.
So we'll start off with Tuscola at Hickory. Hickory undefeated coming in. They were a 41.5-point favorite, and they win 53-0. Can you play the clip from last week? So next up, we have Tuscola, the 30 seed, at Hickory Ridge, the 3 seed. Hickory Ridge did not win a game this year. Hickory was, in fact, undefeated.
So you got it wrong.
There was no Hickory Ridge in the playoffs.
Listen, guys.
Shut up.
To all my misinformation.
So I messed that up.
Indeed.
It was just regular Hickory. So 40-0 at halftime, Hickory. Tuscola ends. Their season ends. Jet Bartley, 11 of 18 for 115, an interception. Running back Gavin Langley had 16 carries for 77 yards. For Hickory, quarterback Brady Stober, he was 10 of 12 for 209 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. And running back Isaiah Lackley, 9 carries, 69 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Hickory moves on to round 2.
Hickory's a bunch of studs.
Yes.
They are rolling.
Defending state champions.
Yeah, they got it going on. Coach Glass is doing a phenomenal job down there.
That's going to be a tough team to get past.
No, I agree. I mean,
they got, you know, they obviously killed it in the 3A last year, and then they got most, if not all, their players back. So that's going to be a tough one to get them out.
So next up, by the way, Pat, Derek, and Mike got that one correct. Next up, Parkwood at Irwin. Irwin was a 41.5-point favorite. For Irwin, they win 56-25. They don't cover. Parkwood gets the win on the sheet. For Irwin, quarterback Cade Engel, 23 of 34, 373 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Wow.
He also rushed it for 17 yards and a touchdown. Running back Marion Smith, 14 carries, 136 yards. Pat, before Friday night, Marion had 8 carries for 97 yards on the season.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good game.
That is. Is that, and we, I think you had mentioned Milky did not play, right?
Milky Ray did not play. I think Coach rested him with the ankle injury.
Mm-hmm. Smart move.
Now, did who went to that game here? Did anybody go to that game?
Nobody.
Nobody did. I'd be curious to know if that played out like y'all were talking when we were talking about, you know, the spread in the game, that, you know, Coach Pruitt obviously on that interview shared that the team was banged up after the battle with the Rockets. And, you know, I think Carson, you made a good point. You know, why do you need to keep it? You don't need to make a statement in the playoffs at this point. Did he back off a little bit and let everybody recover a little bit? I wonder.
Yep. So wide receiver Lawson Reynolds, 10 catches for 206 yards and 2 touchdowns. Carson, the only one to get this right because he chose Parkwood to get within that 41.5. We all thought Irwin would cover. You're right. Carson was right on this one.
I mean, we've been hearing that a lot lately, Mike.
So Irwin evidently they're very, very talented up front. Their offensive line takes care of business. It doesn't seem to matter who you put at running back.
Yeah.
No, in the best offenses, usually the running back is one of the most replaceable positions that you could have as far as a guy stepping up. We saw it with Reynolds last year. We're seeing it at all levels right now. You know, it's not like your left tackle's going out. So
I like Carson's thinking. What do you think, Derek?
Yeah, I mean, I think collectively, Irwin has some of the best skill players, the best group of skill players that we've seen in this area probably since, you know, the Jari Patterson, Marquise Jackson guys at Ed Reynolds, Carter Lindsey. You know, I am a little biased. Those were my guys. But this, I mean, they are impressive to watch. And you know, Mike and I have talked on several occasions about the quarterback. The dude gets the ball out in a hurry. And that's huge. You know, when you can get the ball out in rhythm and get the ball to those guys and just be a point guard and distribute to your playmakers and just let them go. And it's obvious that they're doing that.
So next up, we had a state championship game. Trinity Christian came up here to play Asheville School. Asheville School was a 10.5-point favorite. They get the win and they cover as they win 28-14 to win their third straight state championship. Quarterback Ricky Tolbert led the way. He was 5 of 11 through the air for 41 yards, a touchdown, an interception, and he carried the ball 11 times for 77 yards. So we have our first state championship in Buncombe County this year, Asheville School.
Yeah. Good job.
Good job, Blues.
Yeah. Way to go.
Carson Pat Lewis got this one correct.
Well done running the football.
It was not looking good at halftime.
No. I mean, it was 14-0 early, and I'm sitting here feeling really good. Me and Mike are, riding high. Yeah. And then all of a sudden,
Watching the game, I went back and watched the game on film. Trinity Christian quit running the football. They were running the football at will, and then they said, let's throw it.
Good news for Christ School this week.
We do like to run the football. We'll see. Next up, Franklin at Statesville. Statesville, a 10.5-point favorite. Statesville gets the win 15-13, but guess what? Franklin covers. What do you say about teams that cover, Carson?
Franklin was a great team on Friday night.
Carson and Mike get this one correct. We have a clip. You want to play this one? Pat Franklin?
Maybe not. I don't even remember what I said.
I'm also going to go with Statesville on this end. I'm not convinced that Franklin's got the juice left in the engine to get it done.
They did cover. They did not get the win.
They didn't. Did you hear how horrible my voice just sounded there?
I love the deep voice. I love the super deep voice.
Yeah.
I love it.
A little baritone action.
So, like I said, Carson might get that one right. Next up, South Rowan at West Henderson. West Henderson, a 22.5-point favorite. They do get the win, 27-12, but South Rowan covers. We have a clip from this one. You want to play Mike's first? Guys, West wins and covers right here. Listen, this is a running clock in this game. Did not happen. Do you want to play Carson's clip?
You picking up a game here?
Carson, go ahead and take South Rowan.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up a game. South Rowan, keeping it within 22.5.
Not a chance.
Hell, I'm in last place. What do I have to lose?
It's true. Carson was right. He is the
only, he's
the only one who gets it right.
And I'm the one who I make the graphic, and so when I have to go search and find a South Rowan logo and whatnot, it's like I was looking at myself and I was like, these guys better do something for me because I'm having to Google, and some teams' logos are easier to get than others.
So for West Henderson, Cade Young was 13 of 19 for 126 yards and a touchdown. He also rushed it for 24 yards and a touchdown. Running back to Zion Murray, 21 carries, 148 yards. For South Rowan, the quarterback Overkarsh was 15 of 20 for 215 yards and two touchdowns. As a team, they only rushed it for 50 yards. And wide receiver Fall, 7 catches, 138 yards, and a touchdown. So West gets the win.
And this score concerned me a little bit. You know, South Rowan, not a very good football team.
But West is a one-score team no matter who it is.
Well, this is true. This is true. So.
Except against Smoky Mountain.
Smoky Mountain. Then they get blown out. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
So, speaking of Smoky Mountain, Smoky Mountain traveled to Pisgah, another Mountain 7 matchup. Pisgah, a 9.5-point favorite. I think we have a clip from this game.
Maybe.
Who did Derek take here?
Derek took Pisgah, and I'm going to reflect that. And both of these teams win in their last five, but it ends right here for Smokey.
Listen, Smokey's on fire lately, and I think Smokey wins this game and covers the 9.5. They win by 2 touchdowns.
That's going to be a clip next week. I can't.
It was a clip. How many touchdowns did they win by?
They won by 2.
2 touchdowns.
Wow.
Smokey gets the win 27-14.
Hell of a prediction from Mike Anderson.
Well done, sir. Well done.
For Pisgah, Aaron Clark was 22 of 25 for 204 yards and an interception. Landon Pope, 7 carries for 50 yards. Wide receiver Mason Putnam, 7 catches for 84 yards. For Smokey Mountain, there's one name that matters here, Aiden Johnson. 20 carries, 158 yards, and a touchdown. That guy is the workhorse for Smoky Mountain.
Yes, he is. That dude, when you see him on the news, I haven't had a chance to watch him in person, but that dude is a load to bring down. I can't imagine having to tackle him for 4 quarters.
It makes an interesting matchup for this next week. Carson, Pat, Mike got that one correct.
It's just Smokey's got, I mean, we've talked about it, and I know it probably sounds like a broken record, but running the football, and Smokey's got something. I mean, they're just... They have found an identity, and they are rolling with it.
And Pisgah's offense has went to pot the last 3 weeks.
They've not been good.
Nope.
So
no, and I think we texted about this, but you know, the coach leaving Smokey, mm-hmm. going to Pisgah, and then you lose twice to them.
No, they only lost once. Pisgah beat them the first time, 31-21. Okay. Smokey won when it mattered.
Which one? Yeah, I was going to say, which one would you rather have?
Absolutely. So next up, 4A playoffs, TC. At Sun Valley. Sun Valley, a 10.5-point favorite. We all get this one correct as Sun Valley wins 29-14. TC lost 4 of their last 5. No stats on this game. Sun Valley moves on to the next round.
Yeah, tough close this season for Robertson, you know. Lewis was riding high on him early in the year, and then the wheels fell off the wagon.
Yeah, it didn't work out since the flood, right?
Yeah, and the storm.
But Lewis rode them the whole year, just the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Hey, when I say someone's my boys, I don't flip-flop.
Wait, he picked Sun Valley last week. We all got it correct.
That's
he
true.
Did. He did. He finally saw the light.
I needed the pick. All right.
It's awesome.
Was it the tougher schedule after the storm, or was it the storm? Because after the storm, they played Reynolds, Irwin, Asheville, Sun Valley.
It's got to be the tougher schedule.
It is definitely. And I think they're young, too.
They are. So they lost their key pieces from last year.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously look for them to be back and a little bit better this year. Maybe they learned something from the tough closing stretch, but definitely not the way that Coach Dinwiddie wanted to finish the year.
So also in the 4A playoffs, Marvin Ridge came to Asheville to play, Asheville High. Lewis Carson and I were at this game. Asheville, a 3.5-point favorite, not able to win. Marvin Ridge wins 24-10. Carson gets this one correct. Meek Slidell was 15 of 24 for 171 yards and two interceptions. Josh Ellis, 10 carries for 55 yards and a touchdown. And the wide receiver, Kareem, 5 catches for 106 yards. For Marvin Ridge, running back Zach Lee, he had 36 carries for 252 yards and 3 touchdowns. They only attempted 11 passes. Marvin Ridge able to run the ball at will. That's what I saw. Carson, what'd you see?
Yeah, the run game was the difference here. Asheville's inability to stop the run was the issue. Score was very close there for a second. How it went the first drive, they marched down. Marvin Ridge marched down. Asheville goes 3 and out. We're all sitting there like, ooh, this could get out of hand quickly. And then next thing you know, Asheville hangs around. Asheville gets that touchdown. Did that make it 10? Was it 10-9?
Yes.
Asheville took the lead, right? Was that in the second half?
It was the first half.
First half. So it's just one of those things. I think still proud of the guys. Obviously, I know you're laughing, Lewis.
The guys I picked against every week.
Every week. Mm-hmm. My boys.
But they have much improved from last year. They got some good things going on. They're going to lose a few key pieces, but you know, I think they're trending in the right direction.
That offensive line for Marvin Ridge, it's probably the biggest around.
I was sitting there with Luke Mikeson, who's the starting center. He's played against some Division I talent almost every week at Christ School, and I was talking to him, and I was like, God, that offensive line looks big.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, they look very big. And then we were also mentioning, like, Marvin Ridge's backups on the sideline. I was like, Luke, those guys look like they would be starters at everywhere around here. And he was like, yeah, I agree. Even their backups on the sideline, offensive line, it was one of those things. They were big, but they were also pretty quick.
Mike, you said last week Marvin Ridge had the seventh toughest.
I was getting ready to say the exact same thing. Yeah, Marvin Ridge played a much tougher schedule.
Yeah, what was their record coming in? Do you remember?
Five and six.
5-6. I mean, can you imagine all those other teams?
I mean, 4A football, it's not easy.
Lost to Weddington 45-13. And, you know, in Weddington's, you know, cream of the crop 4A.
There's a reason some people run out of that 4A.
But that's why Court tries to, you know, schedule what he does at the beginning of the year, trying to get the hardest schedule that he can, playing the Dobbins Bennett, playing the Lake Normans, because he's trying to prepare himself. He knows that if they make it into the playoffs, like, there's no easy game in the 4A.
No. And they beat Mallard Creek a couple years ago. I think that was the year that they beat Reynolds. And Mallard Creek, cream of the crop 4A program. You know, they were a little bit down compared to what they are now. But, you know, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the podcast. It's not a fair fight going down the mountain having to compete with those guys that have 2,000, 2,500 kids when you're Asheville sitting there at 1,500.
No, and I tell you, if you would have seen the vehicles of the parent, we parked on the visiting side, and it's like the Escalades, Denalis, Yukons, the G-Wagons pulled in, and we're sitting there, and it's like, then I guess, which I've not seen this before, but I'm not a frequent like high school football guy on Friday night.
You go a lot of high school football games.
I do, but I've never seen the visiting coaching staff in the visiting bleachers with the headsets on.
Right behind me.
We were in the back row. They were standing right behind us.
And Mike can attest, I picked Marvin Ridge, but we were all cheering for Asheville. And every time something big happened, they were standing right behind us, and we were cheering. And we mentioned, I mean, there's a, you know, the coaches can go to the, you know, out of the stands where the fans are.
Yep.
But I guess that's something, you know.
Now, I will say, It's a long walk up to the top of the actual press box.
Yes. Oh Lord!
But I would, if I'm coaching, I do not want to be. I didn't like being in the box. Period. But
I mean, we were standing next to Coach Radford's dad. So it's like, I mean, it was Cougar. At one point, Lewis started a Cougar chant.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We definitely want to thank Coach Radford, Coach Cheek for hosting us on Friday. We do appreciate it.
Yep.
So, next up we have Central Davidson at Reynolds, and we have a special guest caller calling in. The phone's ringing, Lewis. We got Chris St. Ange on the phone. Chris did the play-by-play with Jack Brinkley since Pat missed the second game in a row. Chris, welcome to the show.
Ah, man, I appreciate you guys having me.
So Central Davidson traveled up to Reynolds. Reynolds a 22.5-point favorite. Reynolds covers 37-27, winning by 30. What did you see, Chris? What did you see there at the Reynolds game? I know Max out hurt. Looks like the offense still fired on all cylinders.
Yeah, you know, Wes White kind of came in for Reynolds, transferred up from I hate saying this word, especially with Derek there, Alabama, and did play a little bit of quarterback down there and stuff. So, you know, Jack and I were talking, and if you were just, you know, a casual football fan and happened to wander into the stadium Friday night and watch Reynolds, you would have thought Wes was the quarterback all year, man. I thought he did a great job, stepped in. He had a lot of poise, threw the ball well, and commanded the offense. So, I was quite surprised to see the regular Reynolds offense, kind of, you know, with him. And then Patterson, you know, behind him most of the night. Nesbitt and Jones, you know, were also there in the backfield. But was pretty impressed with the Reynolds offense, minus Max.
We had heard there may be a box, a tee, but you're saying it was just the regular Reynolds offense.
Yeah, you know, I mean, from – you know, I'm not in practice every day, but it looked like they did everything that they wanted to do. You know, it wasn't – I'd heard rumors that they were going to run a box or, you know, kind of, you know, run a very simplistic offense. But, again, I think Jack and I were both a little bit impressed with what they ended up with and the product that they put on the field Friday night.
What about defense, Chris? How did that look?
Well, it was kind of hard to tell. I mean, when Central Davidson was on offense, I mean, they had, you know, they ran the same formation every night, two tight ends, double wing, you know, quarterback under center, running backs back there. And I'd say they had 8 or 9 plays. For those of you who are familiar with the old Rosman Youth League, when they just pound the ball at you, you know, those two tight ends, and then, you know, they'd sneak a tight end down the field and hit a pass on you after they lulled you to sleep. That's what this offense was like. It was very one-dimensional. So it was really kind of hard to tell. But, you know, Reynolds, you know, the defense stood up well, you know, had some injuries there that, you know, I'm sure were challenging to overcome. But you know, they were undisciplined. One play, Central Davidson broke an 81-yard run off the left side and kind of beat the Reynolds defense for that one play. But other than that, the Reynolds defense was pretty stout all night.
You know, what do you take, Chris, from this game with, you know, scoring 37 points? You're saying the offense looked awesome. How do you translate that? You know, what are the vibes going into Dudley in this upcoming week?
Oh man, you really want me to talk about vibes going into Dudley? I think that I think that Reynolds comes away with this game with some confidence. I think they did some things well. You know, they ran the ball well. They threw the ball a little bit. You know, there wasn't a whole lot to the vertical passing game. A lot of it was, you know, dink and dunk and stuff. Take what the defense gives you, what we needed to do. So offensively, you know, I don't know if I can answer that, you know, question on what we've really got offensively going down, you know, to a Dudley team that, from what I understand, is it 13 points, 17 points they've given up all year?
13.
Yeah, they've given up 13 points all year. So, you know, that's going to be probably, I would guess, I think you guys would agree, probably the best defense that you know, we're going to see all season to this point down there. So definitely think we're going to have to be more diverse and not multidimensional. We're going to have to throw the ball. We're going to have to run the ball, keep them off balance a little bit in order to be successful.
Yeah, Chris, you know, you talked about the dink and dunks. Was the operation smooth? Did it look like White was getting the ball out on time? Even in those, you know, short throws, was he getting the ball out and hitting guys in stride? You know, you saw it a little bit. You saw it a little bit with Max where the operation wasn't quite crisp enough, and you know, just simply because Max wasn't a quarterback. But talk a little bit about the operation and what you saw from Wes getting the ball out of his hand.
Yeah, I mean, Wes looked like he'd played quarterback before. I mean, his release was great. He had vision down the field. You know, again, it was in a limited capacity. But, you know, I really, like I said, if you didn't know that he hadn't been the quarterback for the past 10 games, you know, you wouldn't have had a hard time convincing anybody that, you know, that he'd been doing that for a while. So, you know, I don't know. You know, you got to think if he was a better option, they would have gone with that. And, mm-hmm. you know, and left Max in the backfield. So, you know, I'm sure they've got some reasons and everything. But, you know, I told Jack, I was like, man, if this kid was a junior and had another, you know, year here or whatever, I think we'd have our answer for next year. But I think the JV quarterback came in late, number 25, I believe it was. He wasn't on the roster, so I don't really know who he was. But, you know, he looked pretty good, you know, as well. I tell you what was a little shaky, you know, we rotated between Wes and we rotated, you know, and ran a little wildcat. And, you know, the first series, we're driving down the field, you know, running the football. We get down to their 20 and we put the ball on the ground because, you know, we didn't handle the snap. So, you know, that's a little scary going down to Dudley, you know, just a lack of reps. And, you know, that quarterback exchange, we put the ball on the ground another time, you know, at the mesh point. And, you know, those are the things that, you know, you hope you can work out in practice this week, because I think we'd all agree that there's not going to be room for much error, you know, going down to Dudley next week.
So, Chris, coming in as somebody that's at the bottom of the picks for this year, ACR is getting 17.5 on Dudley. They going to keep it within that margin this week or what? I mean, you said they're looking optimistic.
I said they gained some confidence, and I think they did some things well, you know, considering the injuries that they have and everything. Are you asking me if a betting man, if I'm a betting man and I think Reynolds is going to stay within 17 points of Dudley? Is that what you're asking?
That's exactly what we're all asking.
That's exactly. He set me up, didn't he, Carson?
He sure. He asked the question we were all wondering. 17.5 points, Chris. Give us your pick.
Man, you guys know that I love the Reynolds Rockets and everything, but you know, if I have a dollar, man, I don't think Reynolds covers 17 points.
Okay.
I think Dudley, I mean, look at the scores and look at what they've put up down there. You know, it's like what, 40 something to nothing, 70 to nothing, 50 to nothing. I think they did have a game that was what, 21 to something there late in the year. It looks
21-2 was the score of their last game of the year against Eastern Guilford.
And that was their closest?
Yeah. 21-2 was the closest. And Eastern Guilford came in second in the league. Now, Chris, you're going to have to listen to the podcast tomorrow and listen to my points that I'm going to make before I make my pick. Now, I'm not saying who I'm going to pick, but you're just going to have to listen.
Yeah, so all that being said, you know, obviously it is going to be a huge challenge for Reynolds to go down there. But you know what? I remember in 2009, we went down there to Dudley and played in a mud pit. And, you know, nobody gave us much of a chance. And I know we came away with a win that year and ended up winning the state championship. So, you know, I wouldn't put anything past this Reynolds team. Man, they've got one of the greatest, best coaching staffs in the state. And I'm sure they're scheming all week here and they're going to come up with something. And I bet you that this game's closer than anybody thinks it'll be.
All right, you heard it here first. The Reynolds State Championship from Chris St. Arch.
Is that Lewis talking there?
That was not me.
Like something Lewis would say.
I'm just teasing. But no, we all know how playoff football, it could be one of those things where it could be a – I think you said it best, though. The room for error is just not going to be there. And so it's, you really want to minimize the turnovers. And then you also probably want to be, Reynolds probably wants to walk away from this. If they're plus 17.5 and Reynolds ends up covering, I would say that Reynolds wins the turnover battle. And so Reynolds is going to need a turnover on special teams, mm-hmm. need a turnover at some point. And we've seen them do it before. So it wouldn't be the craziest thing.
Yeah. I mean, Brian Craig's going to have to get those guys juiced up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, Daniel Angulo being out, you know, that's certainly not going to help on the defensive side of the football. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of challenges, but heck, that's why you play the game. You know, anything can happen on any given Friday night.
Chris, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. Sorry, Pat bailed on you the last couple of weeks, but thanks for holding down the fort there, Reynolds.
Yes, thank you, Chris.
Yeah, we tried. I don't think it was the smoothest, but you know, we gave it our best shot. Appreciate all you guys do, man. You guys do an awesome job.
We appreciate it, Chris. Have a good night.
All right, man. See you.
So, Pat missing a playoff game. I want to equate that to a youth league parent who's played at O when he's not used to the playoffs.
Oh, Jesus.
And he takes his kid.
Jesus Christ.
He takes his kid out of town the first week of the playoffs. And he's an integral piece of that team. And, you know, the league team loses because this parent, Lewis, takes his kid to Duke.
So you think my kid would have made the difference?
Absolutely.
Well, now I know in the southeast part of the county, they do play winning football down there. Not so much in that far east side.
You know, I've had people ask.
Somebody's going to get stabbed.
I've had people ask, did Pat make these plans before the season? Did he not anticipate that Reynolds
He didn't think they'd make the playoffs.
I don't think he thought they were going to make the playoffs.
I did think they would make the playoffs. Of course.
So Pat and Derek get this one correct. That's it for last week. Exciting stuff.
Yes.
So we have six games this week.
What about Player of the Week?
Player of the Week. I never want to talk about Player of the Week. Carson, you want to talk about Player of the Week?
I do. When we started seeing the stats, I think it was a no-brainer once we saw these. Caden Engle from Irwin, Mike Anderson's second team, 23 of 34, 375 and 5 touchdowns. So
very good performance. Carson, can you just inform everybody who I wanted?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You wanted the White is his last name
West,
from Reynolds. Wes White,
who Chris just said stepped in and did a great job.
But listen, Reynolds put no stats up. I just checked while Chris was talking. Still no stats.
I really wanted – I mean, because for someone to come into that role, still perform the way they did, that's who I wanted.
I don't disagree.
Away from Engle, but that's who I wanted.
And I'm not taking anything away from Wes, but there was actually no stats to back that up. And so we decided as, you know – what super big of him to step up, and no one thought that they would put up 37 points and they would look functioning and whatnot. Just because we know how much reps matter. We know how much towards the end of the season. But you know, Caden Engle, I think this is his first time being
second time
being Player of the Week. And he probably could have been Player of the Week many, many more times, but, this was the one that we went with. So congratulations, Caden.
I do need to back up just a little bit. And I do apologize. I just want to play the clips from the Central Davidson Reynolds game. We have two. Mm-hmm. If you want to play Lewis and Pat.
Here goes Pat.
He did.
So Reynolds, a 23.5 point favorite, Pat. Who are you taking?
Well, I'm taking Reynolds. The athletes on the Reynolds team are still the athletes on the Reynolds team.
Pat's outstanding
analysis.
The athletes are the athletes.
Athletes on the Reynolds team are the athletes.
The athletes are the athletes.
Yeah.
I love it. Indeed. You were right.
Hey, you know, it is what it is.
The athletes are the athletes. Lewis, what did you say?
I'm tempted to go to this game. We've talked about several games we might go to. But yes. I'm tempted to go to this game just to watch Reynolds fans cry when they lose this one to Central.
Oh, my.
They just, did not lose.
They were not crying there at R.L. Dalton Stadium there, Lewis. You might have been shedding a tear, though.
The Central Davidson seniors may have actually cried.
This week, it might be different.
We'll see.
We'll see in a minute.
We'll see.
Okay, we got six games. You guys ready to talk about them?
Absolutely.
We have one non-playoff game. Let's start with that one. The rivalry, Ashell School at Christ School. Ashell School won a state championship this week. Derek, can you imagine winning a state championship and then playing another game the next week?
It's a strange thing, you know, after, you know, there's that finality of, you know, winning a state championship and eclipsing the goal that you've set out for at the beginning of the year, and then to turn around and play your biggest rival right after the fact is I don't think that's anything that any high school coach is ready to prepare his players for.
So a few stats. This rivalry, Ashell School Christ School, dates back to 1911. They played every season since 1933, and Ashell School leads the overall 50-43 with four ties.
Hey, quick question on that. I mean, were they like in the same division then? Do you know?
Pat was the only one alive back then.
Okay.
Indeed. And I didn't follow the Christ School, Asheville School game then.
Christ School has won 12 in a row and 20 of the last 24. So Asheville School obviously dominated early. So Asheville School 7-1. Like we said, they just won the state championship. Christ School 3-5 on the year. Strength of schedule. We talked about this last week. Asheville School, their strength of schedule, 132. Carson, you want to guess what Christ School's strength of schedule is?
I would say 2.
That is correct. Ooh, it is 2.
Look at that.
Christ, the strength of schedule is 2.
I'm heating up.
Ball knower.
He is heating up. So like we said, Asheville School, Division II state champions. They're scoring 36 while giving up 11. Ricky Tolbert leads the way. He throws the ball for 155 yards a game. He has 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions on the year. He also rushes for 40 yards a game.
He's my favorite player.
For Christ School, Holtzclaw, the quarterback, Cancel, the running back. Cancel, if Cancel's running a lot of yards, Christ School's on fire.
Can I go first?
This is a pick'em. This is a pick'em.
Well, I mean, can I make another statement?
Go ahead.
This game really shouldn't matter because as our previous discussion, I mean, Asheville School's coming into this like they're nobodies because they don't play in a good division, right?
So here's the thing. It's so strange. Christ School's had a week off. It's after the season. I don't know. I mean, are they fired up to play because it's the game? That's what they call it, the game. Or is it just something they have to do? I don't know.
Okay.
It's a strange vibe.
I don't know who the pressure's like. I've thought about it's like the pressure.
You don't want to be the Christ School team that loses.
No, you don't want to be the Christ School team that loses, but then this is like, you know, this is the year. This is the best chance. All I've heard is this is the best chance for Asheville School. They brought in all these big guys. They got new beds and dorms. They got new. I mean, they've changed things at their school to try and beat Christ School. They knew that before the season. They knew they were winning a state championship. That's not. I don't think that's their goal.
But it's a state championship that don't matter, right? Because it's like lesser division. We've already talked about this earlier.
Well, we can't say it's lesser. I mean, if Mount Heritage wins a 1A state championship, it's not lesser.
That's exactly what you guys said earlier.
No, it's not.
If you stick
Christ School in Asheville School's division,
they win the
Christ
state championship.
Will win the state championship
every same. For the last 12
Asheville
years.
Asheville School will not beat Raven Gap. They will not beat Providence Day. They will not beat Charlotte Christian.
Well, they've not beat Christ School in 12 years. So yeah.
Would they beat your buddy's team in New Jersey?
No. So they do have one common opponent, Metro Atlanta. Asheville School beat them 48-16, while Christ School beat them 31-3. A little bit of a different scenario. We have brother versus brother this year. We have JoJo Akeem for Asheville School.
Zion
Akeem, yep, for Christ School. So
they both live in my neighborhood.
Indeed.
Carson?
This to me is my don't overthink it game of
it's
the week.
It's a pick 'em. Yes. No spread. Pick 'em.
There's no spread. It's a pick 'em.
Listen, if we went by Simmons, Asheville School will be a 13.5-point favorite.
Yeah, which I think is just absolutely absurd.
Well, Derek put them in the Dirty Dozen top 10, so he thinks they're better than Christ School.
He does think they're better than Christ
School. That's what he
said. I hope his pick reflects that so I can pick up one. But Christ School runs the ball. They win the game. You can clip this.
Okay. Pat?
Yeah, I'm with Carson on that. Christ School is going to get this done.
Of course, I'm picking Christ School. I'll pick them every game this year. Lewis?
It's going to be a different environment this year because the kids aren't going to be there, right?
So it's interesting. Thanksgiving break starts Friday. Christ School has extended the day from half a day to all day, and they're not running shuttles to the airport till after the game.
So they're forcing kids to be there.
They're kind of forcing kids to be there. Will Asheville School's kids be there? I don't know. I think they get out at noon. It's going to be totally different.
Every year when we talk about this, I'll talk about the one sign that I liked on Asheville School. It's at least we have girls.
At least we have girls. Right. That's right.
Anyway, but I'm going to pick Christ School.
Christ School. Derek, I'm sure you're going to pick Asheville School. You had him in your top 10.
I hate to not save the graphic, but I think Christ School wins by a touchdown or more on Friday night. I think they pound the rock. I think they lean on that smaller Asheville School offensive line and show why they're in the upper division of private school football.
Let me ask you guys this. Besides Mike, because Mike would pick Christ School at any point, well, how many points would it take you to favor Christ School before you'd pick Asheville School? Derek's got a touchdown. He thinks they will win by a touchdown or more.
I'm going 17.
Yeah, I think it's 2 touchdowns. What about you, Pat?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
Mike? I watched the film today, and Ricky Tolbert is not very accurate throwing quarterback.
We've known that for a while.
And they're going to try to run
Breaking
the ball.
Breaking news.
And Christ School could stop the run. We struggle to stop the pass. So I think this could be a Metrolina-type game where we hold them to very few points and put up
28. I think the only way that this game is within 2 scores is if Christ School tries to get their quarterback super involved. That's the only way that it is not a 2-3 touchdown game.
I agree. If we run the football with Cancel,
it should be a Metrolina-type situation.
I agree.
What if National School comes out just airing the ball up? We both know your safeties aren't that great. Your corners, all that. There's not that good coverage, right?
No, you're right.
If they just start doing like Ricky in middle school, just throwing it up, letting somebody run underneath it.
I don't think he's accurate enough.
I don't think he has time.
He doesn't have time because the defensive line. We're big on both sides of the line.
Listen.
We're big on both sides of the line, and we can stop the run. And we can run the football. I don't think Asheville.
And you can get after the quarterback. That's the thing. He's not going to have 6-7 seconds back there.
And we're going to roll 4, 5, 6 in on that D line.
But some of the best things Ricky does is take the ball and run.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw many times today where they're going to run a quarterback draw.
Yeah.
They're going to spread it out 5 wide. And they're going to run a draw.
And I know Caden's not on the team this year, but we were all there last year. And if he gets hit a couple times, it may look a little bit different.
If Christ School can play 2 high safeties and stop the run, Ricky's in for a long night.
When I watched film today, when the running back goes in motion and Ricky's back there by himself, he wants to get rid of it in a hurry.
Yeah.
He does not want to hold on to that football. He wants to either run it or throw it in a hurry with no help back there. He does not have confidence in his offensive line. That's my opinion. So, we all pick Christ School. So, next up, Hazeville, the 18 seed. We're back to the playoffs, traveling to number 2, Mount Heritage. Mount Heritage played their first home game in a month or so last week. They took care of business. Mount Heritage, a 48.5-point favorite. Pat, Mount Heritage 9-0 on the year. Last week they beat North Stokes 57-7. They're led by quarterback Brandon Quinn. 57 yards a game through the air, but he runs it for 150. They score 49 points a game while give up 10. Hazeville, they're 4-7 on the year. They've won 2 in a row. They only score 12 points a game, Lewis, but they give up 23. They finished 4th in the Smoky Mountain 1A, and they're led by the running back Trey Graves, who rushes for 96 yards a game. Carson, do you think it's Hazeville, or do you think Mount Heritage with a 48.5-point favorite?
I'm going to go with Hazeville and the points.
Hazeville and the points. Derek?
Yeah, I picked Hazeville early in the year, if y'all can remember that.
That was Asheville School, wasn't it?
That dog of the week, yeah. That was not going well. I will not be reciprocating that today. I got Mountain Heritage proving why they're the cream of the crop in West North Carolina. They win big.
Pat?
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing, Derek. I was hearkening back to that Hazeville-Asheville School game, and I took a bath on that one as well. And, Mountain Heritage is... they're going to get this done easy, and they're easily going to get covered, I think.
Yeah. I will be sweating the fourth quarter when those garbage time points are in, but I think Mount Heritage is good enough to get it done.
I think Mount Heritage wins this one as well, and they cover. Listen, they scored 40-something in the first half last week.
Yep.
Nothing difference here. Hazeville pulled a big upset last week. They're not going to compete with Mount Heritage.
I think the only question is how much does Mountain Heritage want to win by? And for that reason, I'm going to pick Mountain Heritage.
All right, next up, this could be a fantastic game. We have the 9 seed Brevard, who finished 8-2 on the year, first in the Mountain Foothill 7, taking on Bunker Hill. Bunker Hill, 9-2 overall. Strength of schedule, Bunker Hill, 193, while Brevard, 196. Last week, Brevard won 42-6 over Anson. They're scoring 39 points a game while giving up 13. They're led by their quarterback, Kessinger. He throws it for 98 yards a game. They've rushed for running backs. They've ran 16 different players for 242 yards a game and 36 touchdowns. for Bunker Hill. They scored 37 while giving up 25. They beat Hendersonville last week 54-26. They're led by their quarterback, Davis Helms, 172 yards a game, 14 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions. Their senior running back, Willis, 127 yards a game while 21 touchdowns, and they rush it for about 196 yards a game. Brevard also beat Hendersonville 24-0, so they do have a common opponent. Carson, who do you think wins this one?
I'm going to go, I think Brevard and the points. I'm going to take Brevard and the points.
Lewis?
I'm also going to pick Brevard.
I think Brevard wins this one as well. I think they cover. This is one of the first games we've seen where the home team is an underdog.
Right.
There's a couple of those this week that we're going to talk about. Last week we didn't see that. Pat?
Yeah, I've got to go with Brevard here. They've been demonstrating not just this season but the past season as well that they're a real deal solid team out here in the West.
Derek?
Yeah, I got to go Brevard as well. I think they roll on Friday night. You know, Bunker Hill, good record, but they've struggled with some lesser opponents, and I think Brevard, that strength of schedule, playing like the Knoxville Catholic and the Irwin early in the year, I think it does them wonders here to close out the year.
Bunker Hill did win the Catawba Valley Conference, and I don't know if I mentioned this. They are a 12.5-point underdog.
Yep. They did lose to Maiden, who is cream of the crop in the foothills of.
You
Western
got a quarterback
North
for Maiden one time.
I did. Yeah, Maiden. I think he was at Ford too. He single game passing record holder at AC Reynolds.
What's his name?
Eli Carr.
So next up is the North Lincoln at West Henderson game. West Henderson is a home dog. They're getting 14.5. North Lincoln 10-1 on the year. They finished second in the Western Foothills behind Hickory. Of course, we all know Hickory's pretty good. Their only loss was to Hickory, 60-25. They beat North Davidson last week, 43-13. They're led by their quarterback, Sipe. He only throws it for 47 yards a game. He has 6 touchdowns and 3 interceptions on the year. Junior running back Wingate, 158 yards a game, 27 touchdowns. Listen, Derek, as a team, they rush for 333 yards a game.
But make sure you listen, Derek.
Listen. I know
listen.
I said listen.
Listen in, Derek.
For West, they beat. They've won 6 of 7. They won the Mountain 7 Conference. In my opinion, West struggles to stop the run. You look at the Smoky Mountain game, and Smoky won 47-28 and rushed for a whole lot of yards. West not able to stop the run. I think North Lincoln wins, and I think they cover the 14.5. Lewis?
I think the same thing. I love West Henderson, but North Lincoln's going to take care of this.
Derek?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head when you were talking about, Smokey running through West Henderson. I think that this is not a good matchup for the Falcons of West Henderson. The only thing that potentially keeps this game close is the fact that it is in Mills River on Friday night.
And I'm not totally against picking West. They win a lot of one-score games.
Yeah, they do. And, and they're getting 14.5 here. So, do we pick West Henderson? Do I pick West Henderson? But, I got to go with the bulk of their work that they've shown this year. And they really, really struggle to stop the run. And they looked really – I say they looked bad – didn't impress me against South Rowan.
Are you guys just trying to bait Carson into West here?
Some would say. Okay. But I'm going North Lincoln by 2 touchdowns.
Pat?
Yeah, I think the Smoky Mountain example is the bar by which this is measured. And obviously, I certainly hope West Henderson prevails here, but I've got to go with North Lincoln.
All right, Carson.
So we're all on the same page. West Henderson is getting 14.5 points.
Yes.
That's how this – hold on a minute.
They're at home, and they're getting 14.5.
I'm fully aware of how the spread works.
So the home dog getting 14.5, I mean, go ahead and pencil me in. Falcons fly, baby.
Carson in last place by 2 now.
I've just picked up another game.
It's a one-score game. I was tempted to pick West.
If it's a one-score game, West wins.
Yes, but the fact that they can run the football and they run it well, West is not fantastic at stopping the run.
Derek just said they lose by North Lincoln by 2 touchdowns. That's perfectly fine. North Lincoln by 14. That is perfectly fine.
I think North Lincoln takes care of business. Okay. They win by – they cover, they win.
Okay.
So two games left. Next up, Smoky Mountain. To me, guys, this is a very intriguing matchup. Smoky Mountain, 8-3 overall, the 17th seed, headed to Leicester to play Irwin. Smoky Mountain's won three in a row. They lost to TC, Murphy, Pisgah, all in September, and have won six in a row since. They can run the football. Can they keep Irwin's offense off the field? That's the question, right? Irwin's offense is fantastic. Can they keep him off the field?
They cannot.
Irwin has won eight in a row after a week two loss to Mount Heritage. In those eight games, guys, they're scoring 46 points a game. 46. Milky Ray back this week. Pat, what are you thinking?
Listen, you just said it, Mike. Milky Ray's back. They're going to get it done. Irwin's going to knock this out of the park. I know Smokey's really been coming on strong, but nothing's going to stop that Irwin offense. I think the only question you have here is how well does Irwin's defense hold up? Yes, Mike.
Irwin is a 10.5-point favorite. Smokey getting 10.5.
Yeah, I'm still going with Irwin.
Lewis?
I'm going to repeat what Pat said last week. I mean, Irwin's athletes are their athletes.
Yeah, except I said that about Reynolds. Oh, well, so.
Reynolds don't matter after this week.
wow.
I'm going to pick Irwin on this one.
Derek?
Yeah. You know, to echo what Lewis and Pat have said, Irwin's athletes are Irwin's athletes.
Yes, they are.
I mean, like I said earlier, this is the best collection of skill players that we've had in Western North Carolina in a few years. And, you know, if I am Mike's best friend, Coach Pruitt, I'm a little uneasy going into this. You know, this is not a great matchup per se. This is maybe a game where if I'm Irwin, I take the ball and try and score and get a lead and try and make it snowball on them early. But I just think Irwin has too much firepower on offense. I like Irwin by a couple touchdowns on Friday night, despite it not being, you know, the best matchup.
Aiden Johnson can run the football.
Yes, he can.
And he is difficult to tackle. I'm not sure Smoky Mountain doesn't stay in this game late, and this is a 7-point game at the end. I'm not sure Smoky Mountain doesn't cover.
Are you going to go against your boys here, Mike?
Wow.
This is your boys.
I mean, I never, ever would have thought
this. Coach Pruitt, we know you listen.
100%.
Keep Mike's shirt in Leicester. Don't send it out here. You know where Mike lives. Don't send it to him if he picks against you right here.
Mike, you got the tattoo and everything.
Irwin has a fantastic offense, but listen, we've talked all year that their defense is their Achilles heel.
It is.
Smoky Mountain can run the football. Who was the one team Irwin lost to all year?
Mount Heritage.
What do they do?
Run the football.
They run the football.
Who did they beat last week or 2 weeks ago that only ran the football?
That would be Reynolds.
Yeah.
I mean, they knocked the king off the mountain.
It was only a 7-point game, so still.
It's close.
Close ball game.
Do you think Reynolds has better athletes than Smoky Mountain?
Yes.
I 100% agree that that is the case.
If I pick Irwin and Smoky Mountain covers, Carson picks a game up.
Yeah.
He's already went down but two games.
You're going to worry about who's in last place?
You're going to worry about who's in last place. Irwin's my team. They cover. They win this week.
Good job. Coach Pruitt, that's my boys.
The shirt can come to Mike now.
Coach Pruitt, Carson, what do you got?
I picked up another game. Smokey.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Irwin wins. Irwin wins last second drive. I just don't know if they can stop the run.
Jeez.
But, I mean, Irwin
is big up front. Both sides of the ball, they are big up front.
That's fine. I'm going to go with, I think Smokey is, we know how tough it is to stop the run consistently for four quarters.
You know who's going to be the player of the week next week? Caden Engle again, because he's going to light them up.
I don't know. The thing about Smoky Mountain is they're going to run the ball, they're going to slow the game down, or they're going to limit Irwin's possessions, and they're going to stay in the game. That's what concerns me.
Derek Engle, 350. Over under.
Oh, I'm probably taking the under there. If you said it at 250,
350.
What about 300?
300. Then you know we're probably going to have some tough conversations. I'd probably still take the under just because you know they may get it on a short field, and I think Irwin's run game is a little bit better. We would have a tough conversation.
I would like Coach Pruitt to hear me loud and clear. I'm pulling for Irwin to win this game.
I'm going
to
say Engle.
By less than 10.
Engle 4:15.
Okay.
Wow.
Clip that. What time is that at?
1:09.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. So our last game of the week, as always, the Reynolds, the number 12 seed, traveling to Greensboro to take on Dudley. Dudley, a 17.5-point favorite. Interesting stat. Reynolds' strength of schedule, 20. Dudley, 234. I have some extended stats here for Dudley. They are 11-0 on the year. They won the Mid-State 3A. They've scored 546 points. Pat, they've only given up 16 points on the year, so I told Chris wrong. It's 16.
Two of them are safety.
Yes. So that's an average of 50 points a game while giving up 1.36. Last week, their quarterback, Jaquez Crawford, was 11 of 11 for 176 yards and two touchdowns. They had six players who rushed for 171 yards and four touchdowns. And wide receiver Cordell Bartley had five catches, 93 yards, and a touchdown. On the year, Crawford, the quarterback, 163 yards a game. He has 24 touchdowns on the year while only throwing two interceptions. They rush it for 259 yards a game on the ground. Wide receiver Neely, 83 yards a game and 13 touchdowns. Linebackers McCollum and Motley, they cause havoc. 11 tackles a game. They have pass deflections, fumbles, interceptions, the whole nine yards. They're 15th in the overall North Carolina State rankings, according to Brian Simmons. Carson, Reynolds is riddled with injuries. They keep bouncing back. They got Wes White at quarterback. They got Ty Patterson at running back. Do they cover the 17.5?
Dudley, no. Dudley big. I'm trying to think of what the line for the Reynolds over-under total would be. And, I mean, does Reynolds score a touchdown here?
They've played some much tougher competition. They may be able to squeak out something here.
They may. I'm gonna go with Dudley here. I'd like for the rest of you guys to pick Reynolds.
Pat?
Well, I'm definitely gonna go Reynolds. I'll accommodate you on that, Jesus Carson. Christ.
Perfect.
Now, obviously I hope that they do win. That's my goal for them, is the Rockets to win this game outright. So go get it done, gentlemen.
Are you going?
I don't know that I'm going. I have to think about that.
He said he was coming to Christ School.
Oh, no, that's this Friday. Yeah, no, I'm going to be with Mike over there.
0-3 for the last three Reynolds games.
Yeah.
Mm.
Some are saying they're playing better without.
That could be. Pat. I could be the reason why they're
they
playing
better.
They
lost to Irwin. I would say they're playing better without
Pat. Never mind. Sorry.
But, I think that Chris was right. I think this game is going to be closer than what people think it is. I think Mike just illustrated the strength of schedule thing. Coach Laws always books those four games on the front end to get ready for this type of game. I saw the Chambers game 2 years ago. I saw the Kings Mountain game last year.
Chambers, your favorite game ever, right?
Oh, I can't tell you how mad I was at that game. I don't know that I've ever been that mad in my life, but that was just a phenomenal game. And obviously the Kings Mountain game last year, this is going to be another one of those types of examples where they're going to have the opportunity to go up against, obviously, a juggernaut of a team out of Greensboro. And I think that I hope they get it done. Hope they win. But at the very least, I think it's going to be a lot closer to what people think.
Lewis?
I think Dudley's going to do what every coaching staff around here has wanted to do in a long time. Send some coaches to the retirement home, make this their last game. And Dudley's going to put this one in the books real early on.
Derek?
So we talked about it earlier. Dudley's strength of schedule. What is it, Mike? 200 and...
234.
234. They play in the worst league in all of 3A.
Listen, that's hard to imagine. Reynolds plays North Buncombe, Inca, and McDowell.
Yes, there was a team, and forgive me, I don't know the team name. They scored 19 points all year. 19. Didn't win a game. Obviously, you only scored 19 points. You're not going to win a game. Okay.
They played North Buncombe.
in 10 games, they scored 19.
So, yes, 100%.
Is that 1.9 a game?
That's close.
Yeah. I mean, Simmons Ratings has the average team in the Mid-State 3A is ranked at like a 96.3. And, you know, he has varying levels of a schedule. You go to the Mountain Athletic. Let me find them. They are at a 111. So, I mean, that's 18 points there. And just who you're playing. The second place team, Eastern Guilford, closest game for Dudley all year, 21-2. Eastern Guilford got a safety. Don't know how that happened. Just got smoked by Crest in the first round, Eastern Guilford did. I think this is going to come down to turnovers. If Reynolds does not take care of the football and every possession does not end in a kick, whether it's extra point, punt, field goal, we talked about the Kings Mountain game. You did, Pat. I think the MVP could be
Yeah, you know, Rossi. Yeah.
You know, I think Reynolds keeps it a little bit closer than the experts think. I think they cover. Do I think they're going to win? No. But now, do I think Dudley is a phenomenal team? Heck yes. Hand up. Dudley is great. You know, they should they win Friday night, I think they roll to the state championship. But that being said, they haven't played anybody, and until, you know, we get them on the field with at least someone of a little bit level of elite talent, I think I got to go Reynolds here.
If Max Guess is available, I'd probably take Reynolds here.
Yeah, but he's not.
He's not. Dudley by a running clock.
Mm.
They put up 42.
One player, that much of a difference.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Between running clock and covering 17.
Get the Walker out. You
I guys think are so.
Going. 25 points Max so. Guest is worth.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. He's the only Division I player on that team.
I think Patterson's pretty damn good. Yeah,
he's
boys.
Good. He is good. He had a hell of a year last year.
Yeah. Yes, but the difference is the defense will focus on five right. as opposed to now they can focus on Patterson.
It'll be interesting. Wes has to be able to throw the ball down the field.
And I don't think that happens. I think Dudley covers. I think Dudley wins. I think it's a blowout. My opinion. My opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why we're doing it.
Indeed.
So
it'll be a fun one. I'm interested
to see
what happens.
The strength of schedule does concern me. But when Reynolds was playing the tough strength of schedule, one, they didn't win many of those games. And two, they had Max.
True.
And they had a true quarterback.
I mean, they had a quarterback with SEC and ACC football offers that we were told is the
the only one that matters is SEC, but go ahead.
That's right, the SEC.
That is true.
Yeah.
They rock.
Mm. Oh, goodness.
So that's our games this week.
Now, that's Lewis, our game. Did Lewis make a pick?
Yeah, he picked Dudley to send Reynolds.
Pat and Derek
retirement home.
Oh, that's right. I remember the comment.
We're going to the retirement home, boys. Finally get a new regime. Let's go.
Agony.
Carson, do you happen to have maybe a fun question we could wrap this up on?
I do. We're going to go. I've always been a movie guy.
Yes, we've talked about it ad nauseum.
We have talked about it before. Favorite Christmas movie. It's Christmas movie time of the year.
Okay.
And whenever you Hallmark. Get within 40,
Carson loves the Hallmark
40
movies.
Days of the year.
And Carson loves hanging up wallpaper.
It's true. Wallpaper and Hallmark movies. Go ahead.
We did hang some wallpaper in my soon-to-be daughter's bedroom.
Did your grandmother pick it out?
Oh, boy. I'll make Whitney listen to that part. Favorite Christmas movie. I'll lead us off. I'll take the first overall pick, and that is Christmas Vacation.
Oh, wow.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
I'm going to go Jack Frost.
Jack Frost
is my favorite with Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Ooh. Jack Frost is very good.
Fantastic.
Pat?
Well, you stole mine, Carson, so I was going to join you in the Christmas Vacation.
What's your favorite line from it if I stole it?
Well, you know, when he's out there with the camper emptying his thing now.
Is that not Lewis? Yeah. Would Lewis not do that in your neighborhood?
Absolutely he would.
Lewis is Cousin Eddie, 100%.
Lewis is for sure Cousin Eddie.
But since you took that one, I'm going to go there. I love Elf. Elf is amazing.
Elf is great.
That is a good movie.
Film.
Oh,
and you know, while we're on the subject, Charlie and Mary found a movie last year. You all know the name of it for sure, but it's Bad Christmas Moms.
Oh, yeah.
What's that? What's it called? Is that what is it?
I thought it was Bad Moms.
Is it just Bad Moms? But it's a Christmas themed type movie. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, was that hysterical, off the rails. Anyway, neither here nor there.
Go ahead. I've already given mine.
Oh, so I got two. I mean, one is The Elf. I watch it every year. And the other one is Die Hard, of course.
Oh yeah.
You stole mine, Lewis.
Call me Elf. One more time.
Yes. One more time.
Oh, I love that part.
That is a good part.
Derek?
Die Hard is my favorite Christmas movie. I watch it every Christmas Eve. Just a phenomenal film.
Yep.
Can't beat Bruce Willis.
No.
And
come out to the cars.
We'll
have a good
Rickman.
Time. Yeah.
Yippee-ki-yay.
That's right.
I tell you, real quick, and we'll wrap it up, but when they're at the mall and he's with his son and he's like, and they're looking at the lingerie section. He's like, can't see the lines, can you, Russ? It's like, no, Dad, sure can't. It's like, that movie's so full. You could sit there and watch that movie and just, like, narrate it. So
you brought up Alan Rickman, obviously. Phenomenal. Yeah. Phenomenal actor. It reminds me of a funny clip that Mary found many years ago. Alan Rickman leaving himself a voicemail. Have you heard this one?
I have not, no.
He records this thing and he goes, hello, Alan. It's Alan. I'm reminding you to take the pork chops from the freezer and put them in the refrigerator. Don't disappoint me. I just thought that was phenomenal when he did that.
That's hilarious. I can see Pat calling himself.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I talk to myself all day long. I'm in a car all day long.
Pat does not respond to text messages all day.
Not because I drive. Would you like me to respond to text messages while I'm driving?
All the
rest of us do.
The rest of us do, yeah.
Yeah.
Pat takes a nap, a late morning nap, and then a after lunch nap.
So of course.
Pat gets two naps a day.
And he gets a 30-minute break at Bojangles.
Indeed.
And doesn't get up till 10.
So. And then he has lunch where?
Bojangles.
Oh, I thought he had breakfast at Bojangles.
Well, he goes back there a few times a day.
In Bryson City.
Wow.
Well,
they have good fried chicken.
Guys, it is so fantastic together. Next week, we'll have some more games. How many West North Carolina teams are still going to be playing? We'll see.
Reynolds, they'll be playing.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Irwin, maybe Smoky Mountain. Who knows? Listen, thanks for joining.
Love you guys.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
Till next time.